Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Meet Your Mentor podcast. My name is Elise, and I'm going to be your host for today. I'm currently almost done with my sophomore year in high school, and I'm interning here at the Mentor Project, which is why I'm doing this podcast. It has given me the opportunity to talk to so many incredible people and incredible mentors. In regards to this podcast, each week I'll be interviewing one of our world-renowned mentors and asking about their profession, maybe some advice they have for the younger generations, what it means to be a mentor, and so much more. Lastly, I just want to thank all of our listeners and sponsors for making this podcast possible. Now, whether you're coming back to the podcast or if you're a new listener, I think you will love what we have in store for you today. Today's special guest is none other than seasoned author, journalist, and entrepreneur Robin Colucci. She has been helping world-class experts write and publish books since 2003. Before that, she even developed and sold a fitness business. And before that, she worked as an editor at an independent publishing house. As I said earlier, she is currently focusing her attention on helping experts in many different fields write world-changing books. She clearly has lots of different areas of expertise, which I cannot wait to talk to you about. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Robin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here. Yeah, I cannot wait to hear all the good stories and advice you might have for us. To start us off, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your profession?
Well, you did a really good job doing the rundown because it's been a bit of an eclectic journey. But, I've always been excited by books and writing, and I majored in journalism in college. I worked for the Washington Post as a news aide while I was in college, which was an amazing, very fascinating. I mean, being a news aide isn't interesting, but working at the Washington Post is very interesting. Yeah. So it was really cool to get to be in the newsroom when these major, national and world events were taking place and watching these excellent people work. And then as I approached graduation time, the chairman of the Department of Journalism at George Washington University, where I was in school, called me into his office and said, "Hey, I've recommended you for a job with the New York Times bestselling author as a research assistant. And if he offers you the job, you should leave the Post to take it." And I thought, well, why would I do that? I mean, I was freelance, I was writing some freelance articles. Here's a mentor moment, right? Like, why would I do that? Yeah. I was freelancing for the Post. I was having a blast. I was getting paid well. And he's like, just go, will you just check it out? And so I did, and I did get offered the job, and I did take it. And really, I was mentored for 3 years by David Wise, who at the time was arguably the world's leading expert on espionage in the Cold War. Because this is like the 90s. Yeah. So the Cold War was hot.
No pun intended.
Still firing on all cylinders, right? So,
yeah.
And in 3 years, I helped him research and also edit and even did a little writing, three books. And one was a novel, a spy thriller novel. The other was a intro to poli-sci college textbook called Democracy Under Pressure. And the third book I worked on with him was called The Spy Who Got Away, which it was a mass market trade nonfiction book. And that's where we had the national publicity campaign and, he went on the Today Show, he went on 2020 when it was more of a news show. he was on, he was interviewed on Larry King and it was big national publicity campaign, New York Times, blah blah blah. And so I learned in those 3 years most of what I use today in my day-to-day work about how to position a book, how to pitch a book, how to work effectively with literary agents, how to work effectively with publishing house editors.
Ye
how to make all these editorial decisions as you're crafting the book and ultimately, you know, launching the book. And so, I mean, it's really extraordinary when I think back on I'd say most of what I do today is still grounded in what I learned with David in those early years.
That's incredible. I feel like it's kind of obviously you have much more experience than I do, as I'm still in high school, but I feel like there are a lot of experiences that I've had where I don't expect them to amount to anything, but I end up using those kind of as a launching point for a lot of other things in my life. So.
Well, yeah, it's funny how life works that way, right? Like I thought that starting, when I started the fitness business, for example, I thought I was done with publishing. After I left working for David, I got a job as a newspaper reporter at a mid-sized paper in Central Florida. Mm-hmm. And I hated it. I quit the job after like 18 months. I moved out to Colorado because it wasn't Florida. And I thought I was done with publishing. And I started this fitness business. And then I built that for 10 years and sold it. And then I was going to be a business coach for wellness professionals was my initial aim, because I realized in my 10 years of fitness, as a fitness industry expert, that people in that field are wonderful at what they do, but they often are terrible marketers, right? And I happen to be sort of able to sell stuff and, you know, practice the art of fitness. Mm-hmm. And so I started working with people with that intent. And what that did for me, which I didn't realize at the time, because I didn't know I was going to get back into publishing. I got back into publishing because some of my clients started to say, well, what I really want to do is write a book. And I was like, totally, totally can help you with that, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't realize how important those years of growing a business. You know, I ultimately like started out like sneaking into the rec center, ended up with a commercial location and 8 people on my team and
wow,
successful business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, but it taught me, you know, things about growing a business. So the entrepreneurial side of being a book coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also just being able to help my clients who are writing business books, because having that firsthand knowledge of a lot of the issues that you find in a mom and pop fitness studio, you also see in the Fortune 50 company. So, you know, just having that on the ground experience so that when I'm helping a CEO or a, you know, high level executive write a book, I actually understand a lot of what they're talking about. Just from that experience. So that turned out to be immensely helpful. So you never know. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, you never do. So you've mentioned publishing quite a few times, and I do want to get to that in a little bit. But at the moment, I kind of want to talk about, like, how did you know this was your passion? Obviously, you said you went into the fitness and you thought you were done with it for good. But I also know before that you mentioned you always loved reading and writing. And for me, I love reading. I read a lot of books. I actually drafted and wrote about half of a book with my friend last year. But at the same time, I'm also very interested in math and science. And I have a lot of different areas that don't really overlap a lot. So.
Oh, I've helped a lot of scientists write books. So you never know.
That's true. Do a little bit of everything.
I mean, I have to say it was interesting because I never stopped loving writing or reading. I just thought that it was so disappointing to me to go from the Washington Post to this other paper, because the standards just weren't as high.
Yeah.
And I didn't like being pressured to lower my standard. So I thought I was done with publishing, but what I was really done with was newspaper reporting. I didn't like the hours, I didn't like the pay, and I certainly didn't like I might have tolerated all of that if I could have worked at the Washington Post as a reporter, but I'm glad I didn't, frankly, because I think what I needed and what I ultimately came around to recognize is that I just had to do it on my own terms. Mm-hmm. So I got to choose which stories I wanted to put my energy into, which is what I get to do, right? And I got to set the standard. Because if there was one thing that David Wise was, and also that the Washington Post shared in common with David, was they were impeccable. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there was a very high standard for accuracy, for quality. And I just couldn't bear working my way back up the ladder so that I could earn the right to work with people with standards. So when I figured out how to get back into publishing, and, you know, when I was an acquisitions editor, that's when it occurred to me, because I started, like, I was in charge of, people would send in their ideas, their proposals. And then since it was a small indie house, they didn't come through an agent. They didn't have a real formal book proposal. So it was my job to figure out, like, who was worth picking up and actually helping them with their book. And I saw so many brilliant people with terrible book ideas, you know, that were just not saleable. But I could tell from how they were describing what they wanted to do that there was the seed of a really saleable book in there, but it would take massive amounts of time. Mm-hmm. Which I didn't have, because I had a big stack of things. You know, I couldn't, that wasn't my job. My job wasn't to fix the pitches. My job was to pick the good pitches. And so I left so that I could get to people. That was my mission. I wanted to get to people before they approach a publisher, before they approach an agent, so that I can help them present their ideas in the best way possible.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Like, obviously, I'm not super familiar with the publishing process, but that does sound like a job that, at least probably when you were growing up, you didn't really know it was available and it was like a thing.
I invented it. I mean,
Pretty much.
But, you know, at least I've said many times that I am psychologically unemployable. I don't. You know, if I see a better, faster, more efficient way to do something, I just want to do it. I don't want to go get permission from three people.
Yeah. First. I know what you mean. Yeah. That's funny. So just in a general sense, can you talk a little bit about the publishing process, like going directly from the idea to the writing and so on and so forth?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way that I prescribe it is probably different than, in some ways, how people might intuitively do it, but I found it to be really effective. And I want to preface this by saying we primarily work on nonfiction, you know, big idea books by experts.
Gotcha.
So this would not be the approach to writing a novel. Mm-hmm. But basically, the first thing you need to do, and is not right. And this is why I see most people get a book idea and then they start writing. Mm-hmm. This is also one of the reasons why most people don't finish writing their book. Because if you don't go into it with a certain level of clarity, then you'll never be able to finish, because you don't really know where you're trying to get to, right? So the first thing that we have our clients do is we help them come up with what I call a clear, saleable concept. And that means it's aligned with the author and their mission and their vision of where they want to go. It's a match for their ideal reader, which potentially is also their customer. Mm-hmm. And what they already know that they want, not what the author knows that they need, because those are usually different. Mm-hmm. And then that it's unique in the marketplace, that there's no other book like it. Which is usually the one that scares people, because they don't want to look.
Yeah.
But once they figure out what actually is unique about their book, then they're more inspired than they've ever been. So it works out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like it.
And then from there, you come up with that clear, saleable concept. We have what we call a declaration of uniqueness, where you have to be able to complete the sentence, "My book is the first book ever to."
Yeah.
And you have to say what it does and who it's for and why it matters, right? Why it's important. And so when you can do that, then and only then we formulate the outline. And then from there, we're either going to do one of two things. The person's going to self-publish, and so we're going to help them go on to write the manuscript. Or they're going to look for that agent book deal, you know, getting paid to write their book instead of someone else. So if they're going for the traditional book deal, then we help them prepare what's called a book proposal, which is like a business plan for a book. And then once we have the proposal, we introduce them to literary agents in our networks, and then they pick an agent. And then once the agent sells their book to a publisher, sells the rights to publish the book to a publisher, then they come back to us and we help them write it. So that's
gotcha.
That's our process.
Yeah. I like the one-on-one level that you have. It seems like you're very involved from like the get-go, from the very beginning, rather than at least more traditional publishers that I know of. You kind of have the book and then you just kind of help market it and help get it out there.
Yeah. To me, the fun part is the development. How are we going to take these amazing, this brilliant person with these amazing ideas and figure out where their message meets the market and help them, share the value of what they have to offer beyond their colleagues, beyond their field, but, you know, really democratize this information and get it into the public's hands where it can be utilized more fully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know you said that, like, you have that sentence, my book is unique because, but if there's somebody out there who just knows that there's a topic they're eventually going to want to learn more about and eventually going to want to like write about, there's some skills that you find that are very, very useful in this, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So like the skills that are useful in authoring a book someday.
Yeah. Or... and just, well, yes, but as well, like if there's somebody like me who's my age in high school and they're kind of working towards this goal, what are some things that they should focus on?
Well, when I was in high school, I had an internship at a tabloid rag in Baltimore. You know, it wasn't a tabloid, but it was like, you know, it was one of those free papers, you know, like those neighborhood papers. And I wrote articles for them and I did editorial work for them. I think working, if you want to be in publishing, you know, because that's what I know, right? But I
mean,
working for your school paper, is incredibly helpful. I think journalism is outstanding foundational training for book writing because it puts you know how to listen for the lead. You know how to listen for what's new here. You know what can I add. You know, what is everybody else saying that's off that I can correct. You know, and journalists tend to listen for like what's new about this. You know.
Yeah.
And so that can be really helpful. Plus you just learn, you know, if you do a lot of reporting, you have to learn how to write and you have to write quickly, which is helpful. But you know, I think, reading a lot is really important. And I don't just mean like reading the kinds of books that you'd like to write. I mean, just reading a lot, really hitting the classics. I have to say, I read a lot of the books, you know, that are sort of known as these key books in Western culture, right? I can't remember anything about most of them. But when you're writing, when you're a writer, you know, the more you've read, the more you have to draw upon. It's even consciously like an understanding of how to get ideas across in a way that's pleasing to read. So I think that reading a lot is really vital. Mm-hmm. And then mentorship. I mean, I learned, you know, and I have to say, like, David was a mentor for me, obviously, you know, key mentor in my publishing career, but, you know, the chairman of my journalism department was a mentor. I had mentors at the Washington Post who I, you know, asked for advice. You know, I had people, I won't say their names, but I talked to a few people who were reporters at the Post at the time that I was there, who told me, do not get into journalism. Run.
Wow.
run. I'm at the top of the food chain and I'm exhausted. I'm not making mm-hmm. money. I'm getting divorced. You know, the hours are off, you know. And I remembered that when I went to Florida and I was like, wow, if the people at the post are, you know, when am I going to be happy? You know? So even just talking to people who are in your field and asking about their experience of it, are you enjoying this? Do you wish you did something, you know?
Yeah.
Can be really, really tremendously valuable. Interning, you know, is also, I mean, you can really advance your career interning. And especially if you intern with the caveat that you will be mentored. So, for example, one of the women on my team came in that way. I paid a headhunter who connected me with her as an intern first. And so she worked for me for free for 3 months, but every month she got a 1 hour mentoring call with me. Now she's a permanent member of my team, and I still give her that hour a month mentoring. Mm-hmm. She has her own business and her business is taking off through our mentor relationship. I just keep teasing her saying, you know, you have to promise not to leave me when your business, when you're making too, you know, so much money in your business that she's having too much fun, but you know, we'll see. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's,
I do. Yeah.
If she leaves me cause she's successful, then that's I'll live. But, but yeah, I think, you know, you can like what she's been able to earn in her business as a result of working those 3 months as an intern far exceeds anything that she would have been paid, you know? So I think that being willing to do some internships, you know, with a limited time frame is really also a great way to go. And then also realize that you can have mentors from all different fields. I've had multiple business coaches, thank God, because I never would have been able to grow my business to the point that I have without each and every one of them. And each and every one, you know, has played a really key role at a key time. Mm-hmm. So I always say, you know, be willing to invest in mentorship at some point if you need to, especially with business, if you want to have your own business. I believe in always having a mentor, and at these days they're mostly paid. But you know, my little joke is that you know, I work from home, so I don't have to rent an office. Mm-hmm. But I pay several thousand dollars a month to rent this space right here, like to pay for this. Because it's 6 inches between these two temples, that if this isn't right, you know, if I'm not thinking about my business correctly, then everything doesn't grow the way it should. So I think, you know, at some point in your career, even keeping in mind that investing in mentorship is also smart. I mean, that's what all of our clients are doing, right? We're mentoring through the book writing process. So mentoring rocks. Mentoring is what gets you to your dreams.
Well, you've given me this perfect segue, because I was going to ask you, what does being a mentor mean to you? Like working with the mentor project among your other experiences mentoring.
Now, I do want to add because honestly, and I have found that mentoring, because I, on some level, I'm mentoring everyone on my team, especially in this particular field, because I have the most hands-on experience with this field.
Definitely, yeah.
Of anyone on my team. And I have found it surprisingly to be like the most fulfilling aspect of what I do, to watch these incredibly brilliant and talented people really bloom and become great at what they do, and watch them enjoying their work and feeling fulfilled and knowing how this is setting them up for really having a future where they get to call the, you know, they're going to be calling the shots in their because of what they're doing with our Colucci LLC. And I, I feel particularly inspired by that and proud of that. And frankly, it really is. It's fulfilling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's great. Making money is great, and that makes it's happy. You know, it's good because it enables you to do stuff.
Kind of need that, yeah.
You know, but there's a deeper level of fulfillment that I get from being able to provide opportunities to other people and then help watch them flourish in them.
Yeah, and I also feel like, just from what I know about mentoring, working here and getting to talk to all these different people, it just seems like that can kind of be the one way that you can solidify your impact on the world, almost just knowing you're helping change and like mold these brains, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like I talk about the standards, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to live forever. I know it's hard to admit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but I get to teach other people the same standard that David gave to me.
Yeah.
That David showed me was possible. And David just passed away a couple years ago. And I, you know, and it's interesting because I hadn't, you know, seen him that much. I think the last time I'd seen him was probably 8 years ago, you know, in person. But. You know, I do. I still think of him. I still check my gut and ask myself, you know, would David be proud?
Yeah.
You know, what would David do? You know,
yeah.
And I mean, it's been, you know, over 30 years since I was mentored by him. So
yeah,
it really is. It's really a powerful way to, pass along, you know, what your own knowledge, and then let other people express it in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all just very interesting, kind of gives you a lot to think about, you know? We are almost out of time, but the last thing that I wanted to ask you was just if there's anybody on here who wants to learn more about you or wants to get in contact with you, do you have like a website they could visit, or what's the best way to do that?
It's very easy. It's robincolucci.com. Okay. So if you can see my name, then you can get
that. I can put it in the description for anyone watching.
Yeah. And we have some cool stuff. We have actually a couple of free downloads on my book page, robincolucci.com/book. And you can get, I have this thing about overcoming the fraud factor, because that's something that, you know, that imposter syndrome that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this doesn't only come up. I'm sorry, can you hear my pug barking?
Yeah, a little bit.
Pretty excited. Okay. Okay. She's a puppy. Anyway, but it talks about how to deal with, because I think especially like when you're getting out of high school, applying for colleges, you know, this is something that, even though the positioning of the free recording on overcoming the fraud factor is about writing a book, I think it would be valuable for anybody who's just trying something new.
Yeah.
So they could find that, your listeners can find that on robincolucci.com/book, and it's a free download.
All right. That sounds good. Well, this has been so interesting and so much fun. So thank you, Robin. And thank you to everyone who's listening. Yeah. I hope everyone found that as like interesting as I did. I feel like I learned a lot. And if you want to learn more about Robin, feel free to go to her website, like she mentioned. And if you want to learn more about the Mentor Project and some specific things that we do as a nonprofit, you can go to mentorproject.org. And I hope to see everyone back here next week. Thank you so much to our listeners and sponsors for making this podcast possible. We appreciate everything you do. Thank you, Robin.